Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm having to use my backup mic today, so you might have some differing noise kind of things. It's a little bit more sensitive, and it's very difficult for me to always figure out. I don't know. It also doesn't have the the muffler kind of thing, I guess. Anyway, it's Saturday night. We're talking about Britney. And when we last were talking about Britney, she and Jason Trawick, there was rumors that, she's already pregnant. She got engaged. And I promised you that the bodyguard would be back. And in January 2012, he was back. And as I wrote, Britney Spears must be regretting the day her father or someone hired Fernando Flores. The former bodyguard only worked for Britney for 5 months, but has caused almost a year of headlines about her behavior. I mean, somehow he has managed to take his 5 months work experience and turned it into a book. And the release of the book is supposed to coincide with the marriage of Britney to Jason Trawick. But considering no one knows when or if they will actually get married, that seems like a tough proposition. He had a $1 million deal with a major publisher for the book. And basically, he had said that Britney had a huge sexual appetite and that her tours were in anything-goes environment. Quote, I heard stories of threesomes, orgies, girls making out, things that would make your hair stand on end. She had a lot of young, attractive dancers around her on tour, and things would get crazy. There was drinking, drugs, steamy sessions in hot tubs, all sorts of things. I was in her bathroom and saw this picture of her in a tub with some girls. It was very sexual. She told me that was on tour, and it got crazy. I asked what she meant, and she said they all got it on, her and the girls. I mean, at that point, you had to wonder if Flores was just making up the stuff, looking for a big payday. You know, when Britney was a free adult with full legal rights before she was placed under the conservatorship, I mean, her behavior was wild and totally out of control. And so at that time, anything was possible. But Flores wasn't hired until after Britney was under conservatorship. So, we shall see. And then it never came to be, but we'll get to that later. But what we did get to see was Kevin Federline gave an interview to a website in Perth, Australia, that's random, and said that he would love to be an actor and get his own sitcom. As I said at the time, you know, Kevin, I think you'll make more money and get more television time if you just keep appearing on those weight loss shows. They're paying you at least $100,000 to $200,000 a show, and it's not bad money. But he said he wanted to do something for him and not for always being known as the ex of Britney Spears. Well, how did that rap career turn out? And if you got Kevin wanting television time, then of course, Jason Alexander wants some too. And he got some time in the first part of February 2012 on ABC News to talk about his marriage to Britney. He probably has spent more hours over the years talking about the marriage more than it actually lasted. But he said that the annulment was not his idea and that Britney knew exactly what she was doing, despite the claims after that she didn't understand she was actually getting married or the consequences. Yeah, like she might have to give the guy half her money. I mean, to me, it was pretty obvious that she liked the guy. They knew each other since they were in preschool, so it's not like she met some guy in Vegas while drunk and ended up marrying him because they both shared a love for key lime pie and the $7.99 all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, don't knock true love at the buffet line. I bonded over some bread pudding once. For some reason, most buffets in Vegas have bread pudding. And since it's my favorite and it's pretty hard to get in other places, you can generally find me hanging out by the bread pudding. But only look for me at buffets that have sauce to go with the pudding. But Jason said he was in love with Britney, and he assumed she loved him too. But about that same time, Jason Trawick and Britney's wedding was postponed. And as I said, I think this will be the first of what promises to be many postponements of the Britney Spears and Jason Trawick wedding. Officially, the wedding hasn't really been discussed. The only thing that's been discussed is whether or not Britney will have KFC cater the wedding or Popeyes. There are advantages to both, but I think the biscuits at Popeyes are better. Now, if you ask me now rather than 2012, I'd say, hey, hit up Dave's Hot Chicken. You know, I mean, but apparently the real reason was that because the Sam Lutfi trial was still going on, and they didn't want him to be able to call Britney to testify. So she has to stay in the conservatorship, not get married. And I want you guys to know what I wrote March 1st, 2012. I don't think she'll ever get out. I think people tell her she will, but I don't think it will happen. Too much money is at stake to ever let go of control again. Said it in March 1st, 2012. And by March 2nd, she settled with the bodyguard. I think that nobody wanted this book to come out. And he probably went away for not very much money. She didn't want to have to hear about these things she did. And I think people would have been riveted as the guy talked about, you know, Britney walking around naked, things she said to him, the way she treated her children. So it's best just to get it over with. And the screening process to be a bodyguard had changed at that point. It didn't mean that Britney's still not doing the same stuff. You just weren't going to hear about it anymore. They were only going to hire people who, oh, do you have a problem if she walks around naked? Do you have a problem if she sexually harasses you? And that had to change. You couldn't have this kind of news come out. And you had to settle this thing because Britney, this is where we get into probably a 2-month time frame where we go back and forth about Britney being an X Factor judge. And it was kind of rumor after rumor after rumor. And what I wrote when the first kind of rumor hit in the first week of March 2012 was I said, get ready to see Britney Spears several nights a week on television. If you thought Paula Abdul brought a level of what will she say to television, then you'll be a big fan of Britney. Because remember, Paula had been the season one judge on X Factor. And, you know, she brought her Paula-ness to it. But I said, I think we'll see everything from numbness to where am I, to some censored F-bombs, to an over-under of 8 y'alls an episode. And none of this would probably make people want to watch the show any more than they already do. Because like I said before, is the show, and I mentioned it then and I'll still say it now, is the show about the judges or the contestants? And Britney mentoring the contestants should be fun, is what I said. Because Britney doesn't usually have any outside interaction or interference. So the introduction of new people into her life was going to be interesting stimulus. Now, the amount of money that they said they were going to pay Britney was $10 million. And that's about what I said at the time that she could make for about a week or two worth of concerts. And Nicole Scherzinger, she was notified by a show producer that she wasn't going to have her contract renewed. Now, she did get to move over to X Factor UK. But Steve Jones, the original host, he got fired. Scherzinger received death threats that first season after she and Paula had voted to send a finalist home. And Jones was, like, really insensitive, kind of, when contestants were eliminated. Like, he just didn't care. So, but Simon really, really wanted a bigger celebrity on the panel. And so he talked to Britney. And apparently at that time, Jason Trawick was negotiating the contract. And she was interested in joining the panel. And it made sense because Britney was signed to Sony Music's RCA Records, which absorbed Jive. And they had exclusive music rights to X Factor artists. And, you know, Britney had sold 33 million albums at the time. So she is a successful recording artist. Nicole Scherzinger, Paula Abdul, not so much. And everybody said, well, we kind of were missing that last year. And we also want some unpredictability. You know, like Paula times 10. Nicole Scherzinger, not unpredictable at all. And, I mean, can you imagine, you guys, she went over to X Factor UK, right? And what happened when she went over there? She put together One Direction. If she doesn't get fired, does One Direction exist? Think about that. Because if she stays, because Simon likes to take the credit, but we have the video of Nicole Scherzinger saying, why don't we put these guys together? Now, Simon at this point was saying, oh, I'm not going to confirm that talks had begun with Britney, but said, hey, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns over the next few weeks and a lot of things we're going to announce. Now, L.A. Reid was going to get to stay. But what they wanted Britney to do was to have media training. And Janet Jackson had also been mentioned, but said, I think I'm going to go tour. And Simon also wanted to shake up the hosting situation. Instead of one host, he wanted two. And he did end up with two, right? Khloe Kardashian and Mario Lopez. I'm not sure that that was better than Steve Jones, but I think he wanted to take advantage of the Kardashian thing. I think he would have been much better just having Mario Lopez by himself. And they wanted somebody who was based in Los Angeles, somebody who had success, and maybe somebody who had kids so they could relate to younger people. The sad news about it all was that a couple of days before Whitney Houston died, she was the number one choice to be the judge. And she had been approached to join. And at that point, Mariah Carey was still under consideration. But he knew that Mariah was going to be, too much of a diva, maybe. Apparently, they offered Beyonce $100 million. Simon said that's not true. But Whitney Houston was the number one choice. And they were talking about it all Grammy weekend. And then she died. And it was just incredibly sad. And then Britney decided that $10 million wasn't enough. And as I wrote in March 10th, 2012, as I opined yesterday, I thought $10 million for Britney Spears being a judge on X Factor was little on the low side, considering that she could make that in a week or two of concerts. Turns out she thinks it's low too, and now wants $20 million for sitting around giving her opinions. I say pay her whatever she wants, because if you don't get some kind of excitement for your show, then this season will be even worse than last and you might not get renewed for another year. Competition shows are supposed to be less expensive because you're not paying stars, but when you're paying three judges almost the same amount as you paid the entire cast of Friends combined at the height of their popularity, then you have some cost issues and you better deliver. So all was quiet for a couple of weeks, and then the rumors came back. And at this point, he was getting a little bit frustrated with Britney Spears' people. So then he started leaking other names, like Leanne Rimes, and then Fergie. And he wanted ratings, but not at the expense of the spotlight not being on him. Right, so Britney's a big star, but Simon felt, I can control her. But could he control Leanne Rimes? Could he control Fergie? The Fergie choice was, I think the Fergie choice would have been really, really good. Because at that point, they're like, let's throw out all kinds of names. They're throwing out names like Carney Wilson. They were throwing out like Susanna Hoffs. They were throwing out people from TLC. And that wasn't going to make anybody excited. Now, in preparation for Britney to be on the show, this is when Jason Trawick took over her life. And this is when Jason became the co-conservator of Britney Spears. And Jamie Spears, I think at this point, was like, maybe I'll let Jason. Jason had been in and out of this relationship with Britney. So you wondered at the time if giving him a say in what happened to Britney was the right way to go. Because what if they got divorced? How is it different from Sam Lutfi? You have some guy outside the family who's going to be in charge of her. Talk about some old-fashioned marriage conditions. When Jason says he's the boss of Britney, he would actually mean it. If this was a step that they were taking prior to getting married, then they must also have felt that Britney was never going to get this conservatorship terminated. That she was going to spend the rest of her life being the puppet for other people, to make money off her. And then things were quiet again. And then it was Britney, Britney, Britney. And we finally got this deal. And as I wrote at the time, I said, out of all the possible celebrity name judges for X Factor that Simon Cowell has leaked to the media for publicity, the only one that I would actually want to see is Britney Spears. It's also the reason why I wonder if she'll be good at it in the first place. I think it will be Paula Abdul times 10 in the what is she going to say factor and how is she going to behave. Britney would make people tune in, especially if she said or did crazy things and probably would not care what was even happening on the show. Of course, they could have her so heavily medicated that she could be barely there with eyes half open and just mumbling and repeating, "Y'all did real good." But at this time, April 2012, Britney's team was getting close to signing the deal. It's a lot more money for them. They don't have to travel all over the world keeping an eye on her, can just shuttle her back and forth, promise her Starbucks if she's good. And X Factor offered 10. She asked for 20. They split the difference, $15 million. And $13 million of it was for her to be the judge. And then the other $2 million she would get if she performed on the show. So at this point, April 11, 2012, the deal was agreed upon, but it hadn't been signed because Britney was under conservatorship. So, you know, this all had to be approved. Think about this. Christina Aguilera was getting about $10 million to be on The Voice for the second season. I believe that Jennifer Lopez got $12 million for that season that she was on for Idol at about that time. But Paula Abdul in the first season only got $2.5 million to judge The X Factor. And that was after her long run on American Idol. So you know that Britney wanted more than Christina. And if she can get more than Jennifer Lopez, which she did, $15 million. So with all that money at stake, Kevin Federline decided, you know, I got to start inserting myself into here. And he started blaming Britney for his bad parenting. And basically, the Inquirer reported that Kevin and Britney's two kids, as opposed to Kevin and Char's kids or Kevin and Victoria's kids, are out of control. Apparently, Kevin and Britney's kids were trying to light everything and smoke it. They're always dry smoking cigarettes, had managed to light them in the past and smoke them. They stagger around the house like a drunk and ask for another shot, and that these behaviors happen in Britney's house. So Kevin thinks she's a bad parent. And Britney may have been a bad parent, but that's like 20 minutes each day she's with them, and then takes them to Starbucks for some good family bonding time. But the kids lived with Kevin for 95% of the time, so they learned the behaviors from the chain-smoking, always-drinking fool, and just managed to get away with imitating his behaviors at Britney's house because the bodyguards don't want to watch the kids while Britney has her, you know, medicated naps of the day. And if that's not strange enough, it gets worse, or stranger, or creepier. Kevin's aunt, Diane Story, wrote an erotic novel. Okay. The novel, that was based on the relationship between Kevin and Britney Spears. So basically, she was imagining her nephew having sex with Britney and then wrote a fictionalized story about it. Does that bother anyone? And on her website at the time, she was also giving away the invitation to Kevin and Britney's wedding. I mean, how would you have liked to be the cover models for this book? How is this? Did the publisher go, yeah, that's a good idea. Write about your nephew having sex with Britney Spears and how you imagine that went. Oh. So in order to get this whole X Factor thing done, at the same time is when Jason became the co-conservator. And at the end of April 2012, you know, the judge appointed Jason Trawick as co-conservator. It didn't really change anything except that Jason could get paid for helping take care of Britney. I mean, why not add another person to the Britney Spears dole? And it seemed like it was the first step in a process to have Jamie not be in charge anymore, but he was still the other co-conservator. And Jamie probably didn't want to do it forever at that point and figured, Jason could do it. Jason could kick him back some money and figured Jason would be there long enough to make sure someone is in charge of Britney for the rest of her life that Jamie trusts. But as I wrote back then, it kind of sucks that Britney's going to end up having someone always be in control of her. At some point, you would think she's going to try and rebel again or do something to fight against it. And maybe if she does become a judge on X Factor and is not under 24-hour supervision by a team of people, she can do something to shake things up. So we get Brittany. We have Ellie Reed. We have Simon Cowell. I don't know if we've announced Mario and Chloe at this time, but we're on the lookout for a fourth judge. And Simon Cowell loved to see X Factor in the news. The thing is, it was never in the news or discussed because of the performers. If you think about it, American Idol, when it came around, when it started, nobody knew who Simon Cowell was. Paula Abdul hadn't been, you know, famous for a bit. Randy Jackson, everybody was like, who was Randy Jackson? It was all about the competitors. And the first season out, you get Kelly Clarkson, you get Justin Guarini. And not that Justin was any great talent, but, you know, they went and made a movie together because it was so popular. They were so popular. I mean, the first four or five seasons of American Idol, you could do no wrong. You know, Fantasia had a little bit better marketing. We would have had two Oscar winners come from American Idol. We've had so many hits, and we were talking about the people. And if you think about things that go viral on The Voice or America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, whatever, it's always performers that are going viral. It's not some comment that a judge makes. But Simon Cowell, because he's a judge, he thinks that he's the most important part. And Simon had pretty much at this time run the course of rumors for who's going to be that last judge. And he wanted younger viewers. So when he was talking about the fourth judge, which never worked on American Idol, remember, that's too many. But he wanted the fourth judge to be Demi Lovato or Miley Cyrus. And the two of them already hated each other, so it was a natural for the tabloids. Plus, if Miley won out, then the tabloids could wonder if Demi was going to have a relapse. You know, I speculated whether being on national television twice a week was good for Demi or not. And I said, I think it's great for her if she realizes she looks wonderful and doesn't start thinking about eating and body issues. And then I thought, well, Miley, I mean, did you really want Miley and Brittany on the same panel? They're essentially the same person. Yes, one's medicated and numb. But they got the Southern thing, and how many y'alls can you fit into an hour? Well, Demi won. She got $1 million for the season. $1 million. And then for the next season, when she was still on, she got $2 million, and Paula Rubio got $1.5 million. So it was nice to not have some X Factor news for a little while. But we had some news from The Wanted. And the week prior, at the end of April, The Wanted had called Christina Aguilera a bitch. And then in the week of May 2012, they spoke about Britney. And during Britney's most recent tour then, The Wanted had opened for Britney on a number of dates. And one of the first dates they opened, one of the band members was sitting in a hallway with the manager of the group. At that point, no one knew the people in the hallway were talent. So we're told that Britney would be coming down the hall, and that when she did, they were not to look at her, attempt to talk to her, and she'd keep their heads down or face the wall. They did so until she got far away. And later, the band says that once Britney figured out they were opening for her, they were allowed to talk to her and that she was very nice. I have never understood the whole not being allowed to look at someone. Are they better people? Are they better than other people? I will look at who I want when I want. Now, you know, if you think about in LA, it's interesting because you'll see somebody, a celebrity, and you go, oh, okay, there they are. But you don't, you can tell somebody's from out of town because they'll try and take pictures or selfies or videos or whatever. But if it's somebody from LA, they just go, oh, they're so-and-so. And they just go on with their day. And, I mean, it's nice to come on here and tell you, oh, yeah, I saw so-and-so, it's so-and-so, it's so-and-so. But you just really don't ever stop to take a picture. There's a few times that I have. But most of the time, no. Just no. And then finally, it became official. Confirmation announcements, which are never as much fun as the initial announcement itself. Because I had started talking about Britney Spears to X Factor like at the end of February. No, beginning of February. And now we're in the second week of May. And it was just finally confirmed. And I said, break out your pink wigs and moonshine, because twice a week you'll get to see Britney on your television. And what I hope and pray for every day is that when Britney is live on television, and not the first bunch of taped ones, they'll edit to make her seem like a genius, is that we get quotes like "Merry Christmas, bitches." I mean, that one was from a March concert. There was the quote back in 2002 where she said she'd love to win an Oscar. And then don't forget the Vancouver one in 2009 that we talked about here. Drive safe, don't smoke weed, rock out with your cock out. Can we get something like that every hour in live television? Because I said it would make X Factor worth watching. That and watching Simon try to hit on Britney or deal with Britney or understand Britney. But it was the time, you know? What was crazy is that, so Britney had to go to the upfronts, which is where you go to advertisers, you talk about the show. And the year before, Simon got into a lot of trouble because he promised advertisers that they were going to probably get 20 million viewers a week. And they got like 12. So the advertisers were really ticked off. But this year, you know, you got Britney, you got Ellie Reid, you got Simon Cowell, you got Demi Lovato. And I mean, this was a big gamble. Because as much money as the show was paying to judges, if it didn't work out, then probably nothing ever would. And I'm not sure why X Factor really didn't work like it does in the UK. And I think it's because it started at the same time as The Voice. And Simon, it was too similar in a way to American Idol. And people hadn't really got over the fact that, you know, he wasn't on American Idol at all. And the first day of X Factor kind of let you know where this was going. The first day on X Factor was enough for Britney. I mean, and I said, it's going to be the greatest few months ever. And Simon Cowell had to be worried when he see things like he saw yesterday, is what he wrote. Despite being in the middle of auditions, Britney got up and walked out. And later, Britney, Jason tweeted that she was just taking a break. And you can always tell when it was Jason tweeting for Britney because he did use way too many y'alls. And second, Britney can never go more than a few words without dropping an F-bomb. So, you know, if it's clean, you know she didn't write it. Do I think she needed a break? Yeah. The thing is, no one else was taking a break. And suddenly you have someone auditioning and one of the judges is gone. And this was day one. Think about day 12. Why should Britney even care? If her day was up to her, she would spend it sleeping, laying on the couch, hanging out with her kids, having half-naked bodyguards make coffee runs with her. She chose the X Factor option so she could avoid having to go on tour right away, but also to make everybody more money. And because of what she, you know, walking away, it made people, I think, want to watch the show. And that it had the potential to all of a sudden be the greatest reality show of all time. That we weren't going to care about the singing. We weren't going to care about the contestants. We were going to watch every episode just to watch Britney Spears. And all of us knew that something was going to happen, especially on the live ones. And everybody was like anticipating, I can't wait to watch the live ones. And, you know, Britney again walked off the set for some Britney time. But apparently Simon didn't have a problem with it. So presumably he won't have a problem when Britney decides to have some Britney time during a live show. And maybe even during a performance. And it doesn't even need to be one of the live performances. Some of the early episodes that are taped were hours long. Britney wasn't going to sit through that. Plus, people are forgetting Demi Lovato. She had been great so far. And, you know, she could be on the show for as long as they'd keep her, unlike Britney, who would be one and done. I said that she was going to be one and done May 26, 2012. But at the same time, you know, you had to keep an eye on Demi because she could want some Demi time later in the season too. It wasn't out of the question. And while that is all like kind of progressing in the tabloids, Jason Trawick was really trying to sell the world that he and Britney were super in love. And I wrote, I said, let me ask you a question. You and your significant other see each other every morning before work. Then you go to work together. Then you come home and spend the evenings and nights together. Do you think at that point you would have the time to at least exchange a few words? Do you think you would have to find the time to make a video expressing how much you love the other person? You might. But then would you share that video with the world? No. But Jason did that to Brittany because they wanted the world to think that they had this boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, were madly in love, and do all kinds of romantic things for each other. Don't forget that they had these horrible fights already. She punched him in the face. And in the video, he's like congratulating her for making it through a day of judging. We're not talking about climbing Everest. We're talking about sitting in a chair and stringing four or five words together after someone performs. And so you could see kind of, it was just this forced thing. And one of the problems was, and I think it was the second week of auditions. It could have been the third. But Simon couldn't make it because it was semi-annual. I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day, bronchitis. And so there was a different feel to the auditions. I think Lewis Walsh was there that week. But one change was that Jason had moved even closer to Brittany. Because usually there was no one within a few feet of the judges, sometimes even further. But now, Jason could actually reach out and touch Brittany if he wanted to. Think about if you went to work and needed someone to be there within 3 feet of you in case something happened. Do you think that person should even be working? And also at the judges' table, out of sight from the camera, but also within 3 feet, was a bodyguard for Brittany. Why did Brittany need a bodyguard at the judges' table? No one else had one. No one ever has one. So, you know, obviously under this circumstance, you can expect Brittany is probably going to, you know, cause trouble again. And she did. And they were in Kansas City for X Factor auditions. And one contestant was really rude. And all the judges got up and left. Not a big deal. The big deal was that all of the judges, except for Brittany, came back to the table for, you know, the first filming session of the day. But Brittany decided not to come back until the second filming session of the day. That means, when you do that, that if there's a contestant who's really good, you either can't show the judges and just have a voiceover, or show the judges and explain that Brittany had to go to the bathroom again. And that quickly becomes repetitive. I don't know if Simon Cowell really thought it was going to be quite like that when he hired her. And at that same weekend, basically, there was a Pauly D show. He was in Puerto Rico opening for Brittany. And they met backstage, and she didn't have a clue who he was. She didn't know if he was a DJ or a singer. And this is a guy that had been opening for her for a long time. She just knew that he was opening for her. And the thing is, Pauly's show was executive produced by Brittany's manager. So you would think that she would have some clue. At this point in time, I was worried for her. I wondered if everyone who, you know, got paid by her thought this would be easy money. Once a year, when the Britney Spears conservatorship came up for a review, there were always this flurry of stories about how she wanted to be in control of her life again and have the conservatorship terminated. And I'm sure that she wanted to be in charge. And the stories always said she'll get her way. And she never did. And when it came up for review in 2012, you know, her conservators were in charge of her personal life and in her estate, which in this case meant her career. And Brittany said, hey, I'm going to let you guys manage my career, but I want to make my own decisions when it comes to me. But the problem was that they were entwined, right? If she went on a pink wig wearing, drug taking, half sex with random paparazzi kind of spree again, then what did that do to her career? Exactly. And the doctors of Britney said that she wasn't ready and that she had a medical condition that necessitated her having a conservatorship. So she needs to stay in one. And there was so much money at stake, you guys. And so many people making a living off of her for it to go away. But she did get her own Starbucks. It's why all of a sudden we never saw Britney making her daily coffee run anymore. That was like the highlight of the paparazzi day. It was the only time that she really, you know, had a genuine escape. Let's go on Starbucks run. Let's go on a Starbucks run. Yeah, bodyguards and everybody would go with her, but she got out of the house. She got to be in a car. She got to go interact at least a little bit with people. And that's the thing. So they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you your own Starbucks in the house. Because the people around her felt the less that she got out of the house and the less she interacted with real people, the less likely it would be that she would run away or have crazy photos taken of her. And why go out for coffee and enjoy fresh air when you can be cooped up inside and have someone make it just like the real thing at home? What she really needed to do was find like the secret Starbucks in London that was there. Apparently, that Starbucks had some kind of door policy or something. And Gwyneth Paltrow decided to go for some coffee. Not the fun kind, like a macchiato or a frappuccino or the one with Oreos. But this one particular Starbucks in London was just always filled with celebrities. Can you imagine Gwyneth going to Starbucks? She probably would go get like some boiling water and then has the essence of a branch waved over it or something like that. But there was this picture this one time at this Starbucks and it's her and then Ricky Gervais had like run over there and stuff like that. And so you go, okay, well, that's just a one-off. You know, Ricky Gervais and Gwyneth just happened to be at the same Starbucks at the same time. You know, not too shabby for a one-on-one encounter while waiting for your essence of branch to settle. But inside the Starbucks, so she runs into Ricky outside the Starbucks. And then she goes inside the Starbucks. And then she runs into Kate Hudson and Matt Bellamy. And then the way out, she ran into a naked Prince Harry. Well, not really. But that would have been the capper, right? That would have been the chef's kiss. But, I mean, what it also shows you that Gwyneth and Ricky and Kate and Matt go get their own Starbucks. They don't have a Starbucks built in their house. So, you know, they're not cooped up. They get to go live their lives. And it took a long time for Britney to get her, you know, life back. Now, earlier in the episode, I talked about Britney settling with her bodyguard. And she did for one particular case. But don't forget, there was also the sexual harassment complaint. And, you know, the whole deal was she couldn't give a deposition. And the bodyguard had called in a bunch of other bodyguards and employees and had already deposed them. And so everybody discovered that Britney did walk around naked all the time and had made sexual remarks to them in the past. And, you know, Fernando Flores was a jerk. It kind of, you know, made it hard for me to be sympathetic to his plight. Because I always try and thought, oh, it was a male employer walked around naked with female employees, made sexual remarks and hit on them. Everyone would expect the woman to sue. And we would feel sorry that she had to work in that kind of environment. It is different with guys. I 100,000% understand that. But he was also selling stuff to the tabloids the entire time. So you just feel he was only in this to make as much money as he could. And that he wasn't personally offended by what Britney was doing. He just saw an angle. And said, you know what? I can make a lot of money. Now in the next episode, we're actually going to get X Factor on the TV. And I mean, it is crazy that everything that went on in the X Factor. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how Britney's kids call her Britney, hadn't seen her in months. Britney singing Happy Birthday, the rumor that Britney uses meth, that her dad's a racist, and that she's always being watched. All right, you guys, that is it for this one. I will talk to you later.